Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your gracious providence, you have brought us to yourself. So many of us here know, Lord, that through other people, through other means, we have come and we have met with Jesus. We pray that this morning, as we look at your word, that it may encourage us to introduce other people also to Jesus, so he may have the same impact that he had on our lives, on their lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'd like to try something different. I'm going to be spontaneous. I know, could be dangerous. I want to know something about this group. And that is, for those who are here this morning who are Christians, I want to find out if a particular, you know, a friend or maybe parent or spouse or family member, or you know, if you coming to the faith was actually brought about through personal relationship, through someone else. So, hands up if you became a Christian through a person who impacted on your life. Hands up. Okay, good. Now, here's the spontaneity. Who's willing to come up and share it for 2 minutes? Come on, Leanne. Hands up first. 2 minutes and I'll be strict.
I'll be very quick. Okay.
So who was it first?
It was my Sunday school teachers, one in particular. So I came from a non-Christian home and my parents sent me to Sunday school to get us out of the house, I think, for an hour. And I had two Sunday school teachers that I particularly remember who were very loving and kind. And the second one was also very serene. Okay. And I really wanted that serenity. And
so that attracted you?
That attracted me. And then I knew the gospel. So when I was about 13, I thought, well, I've got to do something about this. Either I serve the Lord now while I'm young, or I wait till I'm old and serve him later. And I thought, well, that's it sounds weird, but I thought it's like giving someone a piece of orange skin. I either give God myself while I'm young and fresh and vital, or if I give myself to him when I'm old, it's pretty horrible.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, Lord. And
it's great.
Went on from there, became a Christian, and went
Thank
on from
you.
There.
Thank you.
So Sunday school teachers?
Yes, very, very. So some people that come into our lives are very positive and encourage us to become Christians. The person who came into my life was not encouraging. He was an obnoxious Protestant. Okay? And it's good because he annoyed me because he kept bagging at other churches and my church, being the Roman Catholic Church, and that drove me to read the Bible. And then I was converted and we became good friends. And then he encouraged me. So it's interesting how God uses people both positively and also negatively. I found a paper written by a Christian about the effects on how people became Christians. And he writes this. I looked in more detail at the role of the individual Christian in helping adults become Christians. The study confirms that most adults become Christians through relationships. But it also shows the importance of witnessing to strangers, and we'll talk about that. The majority of respondents knew of a Christian who was praying for them before they became a Christian. So two things. Relationships are important. As you get to know other people, and you being a Christian can share your life with them, they may be attracted to the gospel. And more importantly is that before you start sharing Jesus with people, you better start praying for those people. How many people are we praying for today to become Christians? How many of our family members, neighbours, friends, work colleagues are we praying for them to become Christians? The writer of that paper also wrote, the most relevant evangelistic activity was giving an invitation. Inviting them to events, activities, or just getting to know you. He says, I looked at a variety of other activities and how effective they were to the respondents coming to faith. The lifestyle of Christians and how they related to people are seen as very significant. Be it a Sunday school teacher, a youth group leader, be the Christian worker next to you, that can be a very attractive way of bringing people to Christ. People will look at your life before they will listen to your words. and they'll only listen to your words if you actually show that you care about them. It's not about getting another notch on your Bible. It's about loving and caring for people. In today's section of John's Gospel, we see how people meet Jesus and then introduce Jesus to other family members, but also friends. And in verses 35 to 42, we see the connection with family. Over the past few weeks, we have been presented in this gospel with a very big picture of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word of God. He was God and was with God. Jesus is the light and life. Jesus was the Creator. Jesus was the Word become flesh. Jesus is the Son of the Father. Jesus was greater than John the Baptist because he was before John the Baptist. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. There's a big picture of Jesus here in John chapter 1. And now in this section of chapter 1, we, in a way, meet Jesus in the flesh as he interacts with people, people who are looking for something or for someone. Back in verse 29, John declared to the world that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But you could hear crickets. No one seemed to have listened. No one seemed to have noticed. It was only silence. However, on the next day, as Jesus goes walking past, John's with two of his disciples and says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And these two men respond. This time they respond to John's witness and follow Jesus. Or I don't know if you've ever been, walking along the road and you've got this funny feeling in the back as if someone's following. It nearly feels like they're stalking him. But, because listen to how it goes in verses 37 and 39. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" It's a very mundane, ordinary situation. But Jesus' words actually challenged them. What do you want? What are they really looking for? And all he's saying is, come and see. And when he says, come and see, that's an invitation. Come and find out more. Come and find out who I am. Have a conversation with me. So these men, Andrew, and most people believe that the other disciple, who's never named, is John, the writer of this gospel, stayed with Jesus, had a conversation with Jesus, were convinced that Jesus was the person they were longing for, hoping for, the person who would fulfill their expectations for Israel. And so convinced are they that the next day we are told that Andrew, who's so excited about meeting Jesus, couldn't wait to find a member of his family to tell him about Jesus. I remember when I was first converted, how excited I was, how I wanted to tell everyone who wanted to listen about what had happened to me and how special Jesus was. And I have to confess that over the years, I seem to have cooled over the years. I still believe everything that I believed when I was first converted, but maybe the newness, the impact on my life, the way it took hold of my heart and my mind, maybe, and I was trying to find the right word, maybe I've just become comfortable. My parents were once extremely worried about me when I was first converted. Reading my Bible, they thought I was becoming far too fanatical about religion. I'm not sure if anyone could say that about me today. Well, Andrew is excited. He's met Jesus. And he looks and finds his brother, because we love our family. We want family members to know Jesus. He's made such an impact on our lives, we want to share him with others. How far would you go to encourage your family to come to know Jesus? I think one example that both encourages me and challenges me is right here in our church family. You know that there was a family here who agreed to take on aging parents, Tony and Sue. They made a big cost, both in renovating the garage into a granny flat and the time and commitment they made. Sue's mum was a Christian, but Sue's dad wasn't. After mum died, the whole family cared for dad. They were praying for him. They were sharing Jesus with him in word and in actions. And by God's grace, Doug became a Christian. And we all rejoiced in it. They did it out of joy. They did it because they'd met Jesus and wanted to share Jesus, and it cost them. certain sacrifices, but they did it because they had a goal, to share Jesus. How far would we go to share the gospel with our unbelieving family members? Would we invite them into our home? Would we sacrifice our lifestyles for aging parents, even if one of them doesn't really know Jesus? It is the change that Jesus affects in us that actually motivates us to seek out our family and our friends and bring them, introduce them to Jesus. See, Andrew was a changed man in meeting Jesus, and after meeting Jesus, had to share Jesus. And the person he wanted to share it with was his brother. I mean, I'm always encouraged to hear how God takes one member of a family and then leads to the conversion of other members of a family. I both rejoice in that, and I'm also a little bit saddened at that, because I continue to pray for my family, who I think don't really know Jesus yet. Look at verses 41 and 42. The first thing Andrew did after meeting Jesus was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, that is the Anointed One." And he brought him to Jesus. It's very simple, just brings him along, meet Jesus. It is Andrew who introduces Simon to Jesus because he's excited about meeting Jesus. He wants Simon to know Jesus. Well, on meeting Simon, Jesus changes his name to Peter, which could mean rock, stone, or a bit of rocky. That is, Simon's rocky. I think it's great. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John," or another gospel, "son of Jonah. You'll be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter, or rock or stone. See, Jesus does this because through the relationship that Simon's going to have with Jesus, Simon will become a stone or a rock upon which Jesus will build for the benefit of others. Peter will become a man of unshakable faith because his faith will be in the true rock, and that is Jesus. I mean, you look at this section, you see amazing expressions. But as in the kids' talk, they may be expressions of excitement, but they don't really understand what they're saying. And over 3 years, they will discover who Jesus is, and that will be challenging to them. Everyone who meets Jesus, everyone who follows Jesus, will somehow be changed by him. So Andrew, after meeting Jesus, wanted to share Jesus because he was excited about Jesus. What are you excited about? You might be excited that you're going to have a baby, maybe twins. You might be excited that school's over and you're working or university. You might be excited about your next sporting match. Christians are excited about Jesus. If other things excite you more than Jesus, then maybe, like me, you'll become a bit too comfortable in relation to Christ. We both need a good dose of John chapter 1 to get a bigger appreciation of who Jesus is. Because meeting Jesus means sharing Jesus. One always leads to the other. If we believe that Jesus is the Word, that he is the life and light, the creator of the world, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who changes lives, then sharing Jesus naturally flows from meeting Jesus. Because we get excited when we meet interesting people. But it's not only family members that we are concerned about, but also friends and neighbours and even strangers. When I was at Bible college, we would once you go out on mission, not like the missions David went on, you know, international missions and other things like that. We went to rural New South Wales, went to the heartland, the tough places. One year I remember a friend of mine was doing what we called cold turkey evangelism. That is going up to people and just engaging with them about the gospel, be it in their homes or on the street or in the park. And so one day he'd gone out two by two in a small local area. He was passing a house. There was a guy in the front doing his garden. He walked up to him, introduced himself. We always introduced ourselves from the local Presbyterian church because you don't want to be mistaken for other people who knock on your door. And he shared the gospel with this gentleman. And he became a Christian there and then. My friend was amazed because this doesn't normally happen. It does.
Happened to me.
Happened to you, Carrie. Wow. You want to come up and share that for a second?
Yeah.
So how did it happen?
I was 21. I was at home. Some people from a local Christian church knocked on the door, and I let them in and had a chat, and they went away. A couple of days later, the pastor came back, and he said to me, because I was raised as a Roman Catholic, and he said to me, do you believe in God? I said, yes, I do. You know, I'm a Catholic. And he said, He said, even the demons believe and shudder. And I and I had no answer to that. And then I said, but I'm a good person. You know, I do believe in God. And he said, by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works that anyone should boast. And I said, oh, okay. And he whipped out the four spiritual laws, which I don't think we have anymore, but, you know, talked me through the gospel and I was saved then and there. So here you go.
It was a long
time ago. So don't knock the door knock.
No.
Definitely don't knock the door knock. That's great. I mean, we may even ask more questions later on with Kerry, but even with this gentleman in the front yard, we don't know how many people had maybe just, he had seen as Christians. How many people had actually, you know, shared the gospel with him. Or how many people were actually praying for him? Sometimes God gives you the privilege to be able to bring some into new birth, but there may be lots of other work being done behind the scenes that you and I will never know. So people sometimes are dramatically changed when they first meet Jesus. And we see some of that dramatic change here in verses 43 to 51 as friends bring friends to meet Jesus. So Jesus has already met Andrew, John and Simon. He next meets Philip and says, follow me, which he does. Very dramatic situation. We don't know what history Jesus had with Philip, but it's interesting, as people go looking for Jesus, Jesus also goes looking for people. And after Jesus meets Philip, and after Philip's had time to find out about Jesus, have a conversation with Jesus, he goes looking for a friend. He goes looking for a friend called Nathanael, who in the other Gospels is called Bartholomew. And he says in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Now, Nathanael knows his Bible. He knows his Bible and raises some doubts about Philip's assessment about this bloke, Jesus, in verse 46. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asks. Now, what is Philip's response to all that? Is he going to argue? Is he going to debate some sort of theological position? No, he simply invites Nathanael and says, come and see, in verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asks. Come and see, says Philip. You know, I'm not a natural evangelist. No way. I have a friend who's a natural evangelist. He can take any conversation and turn into a gospel conversation. He was once on the phone, you know, you ring up the, you know, Telstra or Optus about problems and then you have to spell certain things out. Well, my mate would sort of use, you know, A for Abraham, G for God, J for Jesus. And the guy on the other end of the phone said, oh, I see you're religious. Yes. And they had a half an hour conversation about Jesus. That is a natural evangelist. Or else another bloke I'd not met, but I was told about, he was a tradie. Not sure what he did. Like, I think he fixed things. Not sure he was a plumber or electrician. But every job he would go into this person's house, he would always go into a conversation with the person and end up sharing Jesus. Naturally comfortable. And I'm not a natural evangelist. But these people are, and you think God has given them the gift. But we may not consider ourselves natural evangelists. We might even feel a bit uncertain about sharing the gospel. But what we see here in John's gospel is simple and easy. It's simply inviting people to come and see. Introduce Jesus. Maybe that's all we have to do for our family and friends, in helping them to take this first step towards knowing Jesus. Inviting them to come and see. Come and see could be, come and see me and see how Jesus impacted on my life and my family life. Let me open my door, become part of my family. Come and have a meal with me. In the paper that I was looking at, the writer studied 383, interesting number, people to find out how they became Christians. The people who became Christians, majority of them were invited to something. Forming friendships because you like people is normal and natural. And if you really do like someone, then you will share what excites you. You will share Jesus. Friendships, as they get deeper and deeper, will always move to finding out what type of person are you? What turns you on? What excites you? And that's a natural progress into a Christian's belief, lifestyle and choices. If family members and friends are interested to find out about Christianity, then inviting them to come and see Jesus is easy. It could simply be, let's meet together and read the Bible one-on-one. I'll come to my growth group and meet my friends. Come along to a church social and meet my friends. Maybe come to an evangelistic event. It could be an opportune time. Let's do a course together. And let's look at introducing God. Or come along to youth group. Or even come along to the mature blokes group that meets at Bunnings once a month. It's easy. Come and see. Come and know. If our aim is to introduce people to Jesus, then let Jesus deal with the people as they encounter him in his word and in his people. But first, people do need to encounter Jesus in you. Many people are attracted to the gospel because of the way they saw Christians living. Philip goes to Nathanael. Nathanael knows Philip, trusts Philip. Not sure about Philip's judgment. But we find that Nathanael is taken back as he meets Jesus. He doesn't know this bloke, but seems this bloke knows him in verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And there's a sort of a reference here to Israel. Jacob was a deceiver and a liar, and God changed him and gave him a new name, Israel. And Jesus is saying, look, here's someone who's a true Israelite in the sense that he displays the character of Israel. And this throws Nathanael in verse 48. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then suddenly Nathanael is convinced about this bloke in verse 49. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He's impressed. Maybe he doesn't know what he's actually saying. By the end of the Gospels, we'll realize that he's saying more than he knows. But I cannot help seeing a little smile appear on Jesus' face, saying, "Nathanael, if you're impressed with that, wait until you see what I will do later." And maybe Nathanael's not prepared for what he will do later. Because Jesus informs him, in 50 to 51, he says, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God." See, in the story of Jacob, after lying and deceiving and stealing his brother's blessing, he has to go and use as an excuse to find a wife because his brother wants to kill him. On the way there, he sleeps and has a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder or possibly on himself. There's a bit of debate here. And Jesus says, "I'm the staircase. I'm the ladder." Jesus takes this idea and applies it to himself, that Jesus is the one who opens heaven. Jesus is the conduit through whom the blessing of heaven reaches us. So he says to Nathanael, "It is through me alone, that all that heaven has promised will come to earth." And it's heaven's confirmation that this person who Nathanael believes is the Son of God and the King of Israel will be confirmed. Not through so much the miracles, and they'll be great. Not through so much the teachings, and they'll be challenging. What will prove that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel is that he will die, and they're not prepared for that. But he will rise again. That's heaven's confirmation of who he is. The disciples will not be prepared for that, but that will confirm in their hearts and mind who Jesus is. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John is all about witness to who Jesus is. Andrew witnessed to Peter, who Jesus was, Philip to Nathaniel, and so is every Christian. We are all witnesses to Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. In meeting Jesus, we have been changed. And in being changed, we want others to meet him. We want others to find out who he is and what he's done and what he will do, what he can do in their life. Meeting Jesus means sharing Jesus with family and friends. And this could simply be saying, come and see. Come and meet Jesus for yourself. That's all that we may have to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder in this section that it's not up to us. All we have to do is invite people to come and meet Jesus. And when they meet him in his word and through his people, they will have that encounter. They will be transformed. Be it, Lord, as they look at our lifestyle, as they see the way we make choices, Lord, we pray that we may not be scared because we're not natural evangelists. Help us, Lord, to be shaped by the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. May that excite us. May that move our hearts and minds so that we can invite people to come and see. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.